Good morning. I want to welcome you to Selma Christ and New Burlington United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Andy Martin, and I'm so glad that you joined us this morning for worship. Jesus tells us that for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I with them. And so today we give thanks for the presence of Jesus Christ with us as we come together in our homes and other places to worship. Let us pray together as God's people. Loving God, we thank you for this day that you've given us, this time together in your name, truly trusting and knowing that you are present with us and you go before us and you walk with us each moment of every day. Loving God, we thank you for the care and the grace and the help and the hope that only you bring. For the encouragement, Lord, that you gift us with, as there are times that we feel so stressed and so broken, and you are there to encourage us and to strengthen us along. Lord Jesus, we pray, Father, for those who are especially walking that hard path of grief this morning, those who have lost loved ones this past week or this past month. Lord, we would just ask that you would surround them with your arms of grace. May you bring your encouragement, your healing touch, your peace, your presence, your comfort, Lord. Especially be with those who are suffering this day, those who are ill, those who are awaiting procedures at the hospital. Lord, we would just pray that you would go before them, that you would guide the doctor's hands and the surgeons, and that you would just bring your healing, for we know, God, that all healing comes from you. And so we give each to your care. Continue to move in our lives, Jesus, and help us to just be your hands and feet in our community and in our world, reaching out in love and concern. Oh Lord, we've come this day to worship you, to celebrate in your goodness. Receive our worship as an offering of our love for you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. Well, today we celebrate a special day, Mother's Day, a day of expressing our love and our appreciation for our mother or for that mother who chose us. And we also give thanks for those dear women who mothered us as we grew up. But this day is a special day as we celebrate our moms together. You know, I'm sure it's not easy being a mom. There's no special mom school or playbook for that. Yet it's funny how mothers through the ages have come up with some of the very same sayings. I don't know if they've secretly passed these sayings down from generation to generation, from mom to mom, or it's just something that is inherent to mothers. But many of us have heard our mothers say inspiring truths that cause us to sit up and listen, like because I said so, that's why. Or make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident, or close your mouth and eat your supper. Now, how do you do that? Or will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? I mean, how do you do that? Or this room of yours looks like a tornado went through it. Or if I've told you once, I've told you a million times, don't exaggerate. Or I brought you into this world and I can take you out. That's one of the favorites my mom used to say. Or if you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to get stuck that way. Or wear your shoes. If that lawnmower cuts your foot off, don't you come running to me. Oh, shut the door. Do you think you were born in a barn? Or keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. I heard that one a lot too. Oh, we do. We love our moms, or those special women who have mothered us. Even those silly little sayings that have guided us through the years that truly make us smile now. There's a poem by an unknown author that I'd like to share with you, and it's entitled A Mother's Love, and it's a beautiful little poem. Hear these words. It says, There are times when only a mother's love can understand our tears, can smooth our disappointments, and calm all of our fears. There are times when only a mother's love can share the joy we feel when something we've dreamed about quite suddenly is real. There are times when only a mother's love or a mother's faith can help us on life's way and inspire us in the confidence that we need from day to day. For a mother's heart and a mother's faith and a mother's steadfast love were fashioned by the angels and sent from God above. I like that poem. This is by an unknown author, but truly it speaks, I think it speaks the heart of our mothers. Let's pray together as one people. Loving God, we give you thanks on this Mother's Day. We thank you for our mothers through whom your gift of life begins and through whom we are nurtured. We thank you for the blessing it is to be called mom. This day we lift up all mothers to your love and care, and we pray for them, for their needs of strength and support to continue to nurture a family of love, in honor and love for you, our God. And we praise you, Lord, for the good plans you have in store for those who still wait to be a mom. Thank you for the numerous spiritual children you have given to so many spiritual moms and mentors. And Lord, we ask for comfort for those who are grieving loss and heartache, especially on this day. We ask for strength for those who wait for children to come back home. We ask for healing for those who have been hurt by relationships that were intended to be loving and nurturing. We ask for faith for those who will someday be moms, who find themselves on a journey that seems so hard. We ask for great encouragement and grace to cover those who have made a brave and loving choice for adoption. We ask for incredible provision and care over each single parent mom who works so hard on behalf of her children. And Lord, we ask that you would remind many of those who, though they do not have physical children, have the gift of being amazing hope bringers to many spiritual children they've been blessed to nurture through these years. God, we thank you for the gift of life. Thank you that your heart is for us and that you are with us in all our unique journeys and pathways. We thank you that you are sovereign over every part of our lives and that your ways are perfect and you make our footsteps secure. Today we pray for refreshing, for joy, for grace, for wisdom, for great peace, for all moms, for moms-to-be, and for women who nurture and lead. For it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Last Sunday, I began a 9-part sermon series on the early church. We began with Pentecost, the birthday of the church, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And today I want us to look at a passage of scripture from the book of Acts, chapter 4, beginning with verse 8 and ending with verse 12. It's the story of how Peter and John were arrested and brought before the ruling council because they were sharing the truth of who Jesus is, that Jesus is the Son of God, and how God raised him from the dead, and that there is no other name by which we are saved. And the truth of this and Jesus' power was just experienced by a poor crippled beggar at the temple gate. This man was crippled at birth and now healed by God in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Peter said to this crippled man, I love this verse. He says, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Oh, and the man gets up and he walks. Hear now the events that take place following the healing of this cripple and after thousands of those witnesses became believers and followers of Jesus Christ. From the book of Acts, chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, 'The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone.' There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." This is God's word for you, God's people. Praise be to the Lord. Amen. Well, here in this story, we see the powerful work of the Holy Spirit alive and leading Peter and John and the rest of the disciples. Not only has the Spirit so transformed them with the gift of proclamation, but of healing too. And Peter and the disciples are unafraid and bold as they proclaim Christ to the crowds. And they are fearless, undaunted, and confident in their declaration to the Jewish High Council. "Oh, you elders and rulers of the High Council, do you want to know how this man crippled from birth was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man that you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. Oh, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." Wow, these words certainly could have gotten Peter killed, but he is unashamed, unafraid, boldly standing firm in his faith in Jesus. And the Holy Spirit powerfully speaks through him. I wonder what our life would look like if in those moments we are challenged, if we would speak up and proclaim our understanding of faith in light of our walk with God. You know, one of the first times that I was challenged to proclaim the message of faith was on the Bloomington IU campus. I was one of those truly blessed to attend IU. Those were the days of Bobby Knight, another Methodist brother in Christ. It said that only two people ever walked on water, Jesus and Bobby Knight. I don't know about that, but it was in the mid to late 80s. I was there, and there was an evangelist that would travel around to college campuses. One week he might be at Purdue, maybe the next week at IU or Indiana State or Ball State, but he would just show up, he and his dog. And everyone there at IU, anyways, called him Mad Max. And you would hear, "Hey, Mad Max is on campus today." And sure enough, you'd find him with usually a pretty good-sized crowd gathered around him. Everyone loved his dog. Max brought frisbees and balls, and while students would listen to Max kind of just rant and rave going on, students would throw the balls and the frisbees for the dog chase and to bring back. He really had a beautiful, beautiful dog, a black lab. But Max was just a little bit on the odd side, mainly in his preaching. It wasn't so much about Jesus being God's son and how God loves you and desires you to live in a relationship with him. It had a lot to do with Russians. He had a real hang up with Russians. He had all kinds of scriptures he would quote from Isaiah and Daniel and Revelation about how at the end time that God, and that was with the W, was going to send fireballs down from the heavens to annihilate these heavy armored tanks the Russians would be using in the Battle of Armageddon. And of course, the hagglers in the crowd, which there were several, would say, "Well, where in the Bible does it say that, Max?" And he would quote some scripture and start reading from his Bible again and start talking about those fireballs and Russians and those heavy tanks and aircraft carriers and supersonic jets that the Bible talks about. And there were always students there from the Student Christian Fellowship Club who had Bibles in their backpacks, and they would pull out their Bibles and yell out, "Hey, Max, what's the book and verse you're quoting?" And he'd say it again and start preaching about the fornicators and the drunkards and how God was going to rain down fire upon them and fireballs was going to fall from heaven and nuclear bombs would be exploding and you better all get yourself right before this terrible day of the Lord. And God was going to smash through these heavy armored tanks. He really had this infatuation with tanks. But somehow this was all predicted in Daniel and Revelation. The Russians would be annihilated along with all who stood with them. So Max would just go on preaching like this for like hours. It wasn't odd for him to not even take a break, you know, like for an hour and a half, 2 hours. And people would just kind of come and go. And so there I was just listening to all he said, and inside I was... Honestly, I was kind of going, "Grr," you know, this guy was just kind of like out of his mind. It's no wonder they called him Mad Max. And honestly, I was really wet behind the ears as a pastor. I'd only been in serving the church for about 2 years. And so here I am, a student pastor, 27 years old, standing among a group of about 200 or 300 college students that ranged in age from about 18, 19 to 25 or so, basically peers. And Mad Max finally gets tired and he says, "Anyone else wants to share a word from God? I need a break." And my gut just kind of turned inside out. And again, Max asked the question, "Anyone else want to share a word from God?" And then I just kind of heard myself saying, "Yeah, I'd like to share a word from God." And I stepped forward. Man, I was scared to death. This wasn't my safe congregation of those little old ladies smiling back at me or those guys sleeping in the back pew. No, this was young adults full of questions and suspicion and doubt and people that had been haggling, you know, Max. And there I stood out in the middle of everything. Mad Max to my left, the crowd all around, and no one is talking or haggling. It just went quiet. No sound. Everyone's attention was just like right on me. Shoot, Mad Max's dog was even sitting there looking at me. And I finally pushed that lump out of my throat, and I said something like, "You know, I don't know about fireballs from heaven or heavy Russian tanks being annihilated, but what I do know is that every person on this hillside today, God loves. God loves every one of you." And from there on, I spent probably 8-10 minutes preaching about Jesus' love and how God desires this relationship with us and how God's word shows us that God is not out to get us, but that God is for us. And this is why Jesus came. And God wants us to say yes to Him in our lives and to live as people truly blessed in this world. And then I turned it back over to Max. And he said something like, "Oh, thank you, brother. Thank you for those good words." And then Max said something like, "And God is going to send down fireballs from the heavens upon those of you who fornicate and not live righteous lives before Him, just as He will smash those Russian tanks with fireballs. It says so right here in Revelation." And he quote the text. Oh, but you know, in that one moment, And that one moment when I stepped out and I spoke my heart of what I knew and what I trusted in as a Christian, wow, that moment transformed my life. And it transformed my preaching from that point forward. You know, seminary was great. Seminary was wonderful. I just loved Asbury, and I learned so much and I grew so much in graduate school. But I think the thing that changed my life, that truly changed me, was that day that I stepped out in the middle of that crowd on IU's campus. That was the day that I stood firm in my faith. That was kind of like my Peter and John moment, when I could not stop myself from telling about the Jesus I knew. And when I did, wow, what that did for me and my walk with Jesus Christ. Stand firm in your faith. Those are good words. Stand firm in your faith. Push that lump out of your throat and see what God will do. See what God will do. Young people, especially young people, stand firm in your faith. You know, our junior and senior high youth face some of the most difficult decisions that one can face in one's faith journey. And you and I really need to be encouragers, and we need to make sure that our young people have every opportunity they can to grow deep in their faith and in their commitment with Jesus Christ. I can't imagine all the pressures our young people have on them. And not just to be perfect in school or beautiful people as the media portrays what beauty is or what success is, but our young people live in a culture today where anything and where everything goes, where the media and even peers talk about sex as a given or a norm before marriage. Even some parental figures say that, you know, in this day and age, you can't expect young people to wait until marriage as God's word leads them. That's just old-fashioned, naive thinking. And on top of this, you have all the pressures that deal with alcohol and drug use. And it can be just so confusing for teens, especially when it's right for some and not right for others because of age or our circumstance. You know, we live right next to Ohio that legalizes marijuana for medicinal purposes. And to the north of us and to the west of us, Michigan and Illinois has legalized it for recreational use. Well, there's this constant barrage of choosing the right way that our young people have to face today. Honor your father and mother, the fifth commandment. How do you do that when mother or our father is never home? Are they always yelling? Or they seem to always cut you off and never let you make your own decisions? How do you honor your parents when your parent is the one who's taught you how to roll a joint and that's the source of your family recreation every Friday night? And unfortunately, that happens with too many families too often. But what if you stood firm in your faith with your friends and with your family? What if you had a Peter and John moment where you just could not stop yourself from telling about the Jesus that you know and how you are going to choose his way because you believe with all your heart that it's the right way? Well, I know what it did for me. On that day, I stood firm in my faith. And when I did, wow, what it did for me and my walk with Jesus. It just kind of made my socks roll up and down. What would happen? What would happen if moms and dads and grandparents, if we adults stood firm in our faith and we allowed the power of the Holy Spirit to speak through us? What if in those moments, those opportunities that God gives us, that we would speak up and proclaim our understanding and faith and of faith in light of our walk with God? What could happen if we knew a friend was down and out, or if they were struggling with one of life's hard issues, and we not only shared comfort and concern as we should, but what if we shared the reason of our inner strength? What if we stood firm in our faith and not only reached out with loving arms of Jesus, but we also could not stop ourselves from telling about the Jesus that we know? Oh, just imagine what might happen if we pushed that lump out of our throat to see what God would do. Oh, what would happen if when we see or hear of another brother or sister in Christ that they were struggling with sin, and instead of talking about it with friends, which is called gossiping, and instead of taking the political correct road and say, well, that's their own business, and I really don't want to interfere, I don't want to judge, what if we took the path of God's Word, which is going to them and offering them Christ's love and offering them grace? What if we got the facts for ourselves, and no matter what those facts were, we would not think less of them? What if we stood firm in our faith and allowed the power of the Holy Spirit to speak through us? What if we had a Peter and John moment where we could not stop ourselves from telling about the Jesus we know? And no matter how far you've gone down a wrong path, Jesus can make you new again, and I'll be right here with you to help you through. I wonder what would happen to our faith and our walk with Jesus if we stood firm and we spoke up and we proclaimed the understanding that we have of our faith in light of our walk with God. I imagine we would never be the same. Well, in Acts chapter 4, we see Peter and John standing firm in their faith in Jesus Christ. Through God's power, they healed a man, and the Sadducees, these religious people, they didn't like it at all, nor did they like the message that Peter and John were preaching. So they arrested them, and they put them on trial. But during the trial, the court realized that they had no legal right to keep them. But before they let Peter and John go, they threatened them. Acts chapter 4, verse 18 says, "So they called the apostles back in, and they commanded them to never again speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, 'Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard.'" All these religious men told Peter and John to stop teaching in the name of Jesus. They told them to bow down and to denounce their faith in Christ. They told them to stop living out the very purpose of their being. And in this moment, after Jesus just being arrested, Peter and John stood up for Christ. Even though they were facing threats, they took a stand and they told the leaders that they would keep preaching and teaching Christ. Oh, listen, you know, in this life, you will face people or circumstances or things that will try to keep you from living fully for Christ. This could be a temptation from the evil one. This could be even a relationship. It could be a family member, a job, a friend, or even a tragic and unexpected event. Oh, this is why Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 16:13 to be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. Paul wouldn't use this verbiage if we weren't going to face opposition and people and places and things that will try to get us to back down instead of to stand up. Oh, Peter and John faced major opposition. They were arrested. They were put in prison and threatened, but they continued to stand for Christ. And so today, before we go, I want to give you three truths to help you stand firm in your faith when life comes at you full force. And the first truth is this: Jesus is our foundation. Jesus is our foundation. In Acts chapter 4, we see Peter and John. They take this strong stand for Christ in the face of people who wanted to throw them in prison and even destroy their lives. One key reason Peter and John were able to stand firm in their faith is because Jesus was their foundation. Their lives were built on the solid rock of Christ. Jesus was the cornerstone for Peter's life. Jesus was his everything. Jesus was his foundation. Peter and John knew that salvation was found in no one else. Their lives were all about Jesus. He was their foundation. And when Jesus is your cornerstone, no matter what you face in life, You have a firm foundation to stand on. You can stand on Him, for Him, and you can walk in His strength, talk in His strength, and live in His strength. Everything we are and do is all about Him. We all face trouble and opposition, but we can take a stand when we make Jesus our foundation. Jesus is the cornerstone and foundation that will never crack or grow weary. He is the cornerstone that makes a solid foundation for us to stand on 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. When the storms of life come, Jesus is our firm foundation. Stand firm in Him. And the second truth I want to share with you to help you stand firm in your faith is that we need to obey God in the midst of opposition. We need to obey God in the midst of our opposition. You see, facing opposition isn't a matter of if, but when, which means we'll have many opportunities to obey or disobey. Oh, God hasn't called us to just believe. Our faith has to be vibrant, active, a faith that we live out. Peter and John had a vibrant, active faith. Oh, when the Jewish High Council threatened them and forbid them to never again speak or teach in Jesus' name, they stood firm and proclaimed, "We cannot help but to speak about what we have seen and what we've heard." Oh, to stand firm in our faith, we have to do what James tells us. He says we can't just be hearers of the word, we also must be doers of the word, regardless of the opposition we face. We're to put feet to our faith and to keep walking faithfully with God every day. We're to keep walking through the rough terrain of the mountains of life. And we're to keep walking when the storms of life come against us. Just as we have been walking these hard days these last couple of months. Oh my, but you see, living for Christ isn't always easy. We all will face opposition, but we must obey God in the midst of opposition and stand firm because only He is worthy. And lastly, the third truth I want to share with you to help you stand firm in your faith is that when we stand for Jesus, He shines through us. When we stand for Jesus, He shines through us. It is so powerful to see what happens when Peter and John stand firm in their faith. Acts chapter 4 verse 4 says, "But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Oh, because Peter and John stood firm, many people heard the message of Christ and believe. Many people were snatched out of the darkness and brought in the kingdom of light because two men stood firm in their faith in the face of opposition.
When we stand, people see Jesus in us. And God will use our boldness to bring people into a relationship with Him. These men stood firm in their faith, and the number of new Christians grew to well over 5,000. And that is incredible. Powerful things happen when we stand firm. When we stand firm in our faith, God will use our resolve to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. Stand firm in your faith. Push that lump out of your throat and just see what God will do. Speak up and proclaim your understanding of faith in light of your walk with God. Be blessed with a Peter and John moment where you just cannot help yourself but to tell about the Jesus that you know. And when you do, may your life, like Peter and John's, never be the same. Let's pray. Loving God, we again thank you and praise you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that enables us and empowers us to speak with confidence of your love and your grace and your healing touch. Lord, help us, like Peter and John, to boldly speak out that which we know of you, not necessarily having all the answers or knowing all the words of Scripture, but to truly take what we know of you by the empowerment of your Holy Spirit and share that gift with others. To share that gift in such a way that it will not fall on deaf ears, but by our experience, Jesus, that we would be able to share your good news, your good love, your mercy, your healing, your presence with others that walk hard paths and that are maybe walking paths that don't know you. Lord, give us those opportunities. Help us to just push that lump out and down away from us so that we can be your hands and feet and not only being doers of your word, but also, Lord, being those who share your word with those of our world who so desperately need it, especially in these days and these times. For this we ask and this we pray, Jesus, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. Go now in the strength and in the power of the God who loves you and who loves all. And may you experience the peace of Jesus Christ. Amen.